four senators have now introduced a bill to strengthen protections for military whistleblowers. They say it will encourage service members to report sexual assaults as well as fraud, waste, and abuse. Now, among the groups applauding the measure is the Government Accountability Project. It's called The Current Law Toothless. Legal Director Tom Devine joins us now for analysis. Good morning, Tom.
Morning.
So, first of all, let's talk about why this current law is toothless as you see it. What are the problems?
Well, it's got some limited free speech rights, and it's probably an appropriate context for where it's responsible to dissent for soldiers. But when and that's more limited than the civilian employees. But when it is important to dissent, the stakes are probably higher, and these rights don't have anything to back them up. There's no opportunity for a day in court, any administrative due process. There's no particular legal standards for what it takes to win your case or lose your case. Basically, the soldier who faces retaliation for challenging fraud, waste, abuse, human rights violations, corruption, they can ask the Office of Inspector General to do an investigation, and the Inspector General can recommend that there be some corrective action, but they don't get any day in court. They can't face their accusers. They can't present evidence on their behalf. They don't have the normal due process rights that anybody else does if they're accused or they're violated when they're entitled to protection under the law. And the bottom line is that GAO did a study from FY 2006 until mid-2011. Out of 2,227 retaliation complaints, 20 whistleblowers obtained any help. That's less than 1%. This is a law that creates more reprisal victims than it helps. And it's in the area where fraud, waste, and abuse can have the highest stakes consequences. Something's got to give. And the sexual harassment scandals, just the wave of brutal violence against our own service members by colleagues and no opportunity for justice is what's really sparked this counterattack.
All right, let's talk about some of the cases in terms of who are these whistleblowers that are not getting this justice. Does it tend to be at the enlisted level, lower ranks, or does it also extend up to the higher ranks that might see something, captains, colonels, and so on?
It extends pretty much wherever someone challenges an abuse of power within the military bureaucracy. A number of the whistleblowers are enlisted people who are challenging sexual harassment directed against themselves or colleagues, but some of them were officers who were fighting sexual harassment. One of them that I'm working with was a major in the Marine Corps, Major James Wyrick. He was trying to prosecute the misconduct that occurred when some officers urinated on dead Taliban and caused an international incident. And he was just trying to play it straight in the prosecution, but the commandant of the Marines was so upset about the bad publicity, he wanted to violate their rights and deprive them very possibly of a fair trial and give them the opportunity to win the case on appeal because of cheating, and like happened with Ted Stevens. And he said, no, we have to play this straight. This is a significant case. He was forced off the job, stripped of his duties, fighting for his professional life. Another one is a chaplain in the military who was fired for blowing the whistle on human rights abuses, forced out of the Army during a sermon, which is raises sort of a freedom of religious questions. Another one was blowing the whistle on cheating that was keeping minority recruits out of the Army in the South. Wherever there's power, it can be abused. We're seeing corruption scandals right now in the military that are endangering our folks in the Navy due to corruption scandals. We need the voice of the truth to be able to bear witness safely.
So, Tom, let me ask you to put this in perspective as it relates to all federal employees or contractors. Congress passed the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, so it has already enhanced those whistleblower protections for people who are not in the military. Why has this been so much longer in coming? What makes it so much more complicated?
Well, there's always a tougher lift for people who are legitimately in an environment that requires more discipline, more blind faith obedience because of the context of the Pew Organization's mission. And we don't really have a gripe with the fact that the context for freedom of dissent are much more narrow in the military than they are in the civilian sector. The problem is when it is necessary to blow the whistle, such as things like Abu Ghraib or the My Lai massacre or some sort of corruptions or screw-ups or intelligence breakdowns that can threaten the troops, the consequences are life and death stakes that are at risk here. And we need whistleblowers more than in other sectors. And it's not just military service members who will be affected by this law. Last year, scientists in the Public Health Service were moved from the civilian whistleblower rights into the Military Whistleblower Protection Act. And that's the doctors who protect us against drugs being in our food supply that are illegal or unsafe, against medicines that can end up killing our pets instead of keeping them
sure.
Well. Those are the people who will be protected by this reform as well.
We're speaking with Tom Devine. He is the legal director of the Government Accountability Project. Now, it looks like there's bipartisan support for some of the reforms, and it looks like the reforms are in the House version of the Defense Authorization Bill. But the Senate is mired in argument over whether amendments can even be offered and voted on for its authorization bill. So it's what are you handicapping the chances of something happening this legislative session?
Well, this is a work in progress, but we're real optimistic. The Senate folks aren't quite as far along in the bill as in the House, but we've got an outstanding coalition, bipartisan coalition, that's pushing to have more teeth in the rights. It's Senators Kane and Warner from Virginia, Senator Collins and from Maine, and Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa. It's a bipartisan lineup. And the decisions are being made by Senator Carl Levin, who's one of the pioneers of whistleblower rights generally, and of the early versions of the Military Whistleblower Protection Act. So we're pretty optimistic that the law is going to be strengthened. It's just how many more teeth will we get in it. Right now, it's kind of like each chamber of Congress has a good half a loaf. Both bills would be closing loopholes that were closed in the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act. Both bills would increase the statute of limitations from the current 30 days, which is hopelessly unrealistic to act on your rights, to 180 days, 6 months. The House bill, though, would raise the burdens of proof so that you have the same rules of the game to prove your case as the civilian workers, and it would give access to court for judicial review of the administrative rulings or IG investigations. Now, the Senate bill may have the most significant reform in it if the amendments from Senator Warner get through. That's giving people a guaranteed administrative day in court. Right now, all they do is wait for an inspector general investigation. And this would give them a chance to actually get in there and defend themselves, confront their accusers, present witnesses and evidence on their behalf, have a fighting chance for justice when they defend the public on the battlefield.
So it sounds like, given a choice, you would prefer the Senate version?
Right now, we think we probably need both sides, the best of both. And we've got a coalition of already, just in a few days last week, we ginned up support from 32 organizations, all ideological stripes, from Ralph Nader's groups to the Liberty Coalition that's got Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform in it, in the National Taxpayers Union, the Civil Liberties Organizations, the whistleblowers from the civil service system are rallying behind their colleagues in the military service. We're going into full gear here, and we're pretty confident we're going to win this.
And just a point of clarification, because you've mentioned it a couple of times, that people who do blow the whistle don't have their day in court, but they do get a review from the inspector general. What happens after the inspector general submits its review or recommendations to the higher-ups of the Pentagon?
That's been very frustrating for us. After the IG makes its findings, The recommendations can go to the Secretary of the Service, where the military service member is working. And if the person doesn't get help, in theory, they can go to the Board of Correction of Military Records and have an administrative hearing. But since 1988, none of the service boards have ever approved a request for a hearing. There's been zero hearings in 35 years of possibilities for them. And that's why the Senate bill is so important. It'll give them a right to a hearing. And the House bill is important, too, just to give some standards for who wins or loses. 20% of the time when the IG backs the whistleblowers, these boards disapprove the recommendations for justice without conducting a hearing. So it would give people some basic due process rights to defend themselves.
Tom Devine is legal director of the Government Accountability Project. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.